This parsha is about the physical and the spiritual. We'll start off with 1 Corinthians 15:42 to 49.
So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man.
This is where we get a lot of the writers here. He knew first the physical, then the spiritual. With the Torah, it's an example set up by God so that maybe we'll get it. Romans 9, 6 through 18.
But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Yitzhak shall your seed shall in Yitzhak your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rivka also had conceived by one man, even by our father Yitzhak, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Yaakov I have loved, but Esav I have hated. What shall I say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not.
For if he said to Moshe, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion, so then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and on whom he wills he hardens. Amen. This is a very powerful set of words for us today. When you see here in verse 12 where it says, and it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, the flesh shall serve the spirit. When we look in the order of God, the way he lays it out, first the physical, then the spiritual. When we see these words, the older shall serve the younger. Back then, those people got it this way. They knew exactly what this meant. When it said the older shall serve the younger, the flesh shall serve the spirit to be in completion with Elohim. If the flesh does not submit to the spirit of Elohim, there is no more spirit. Four things in this poor parsha, Genesis 25, 9 through 34.
And his sons Yitzhak and Yishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hitti. This is the genealogy of Yitzhak, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Yitzhak. Yitzhak was 40 years old when he took Rivka, his wife, as wife, the daughter of Betuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now Yitzhak pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rivka, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esav. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Yaakov. Yitzhak was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Yaakov was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Yitzhak loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rivka loved Yaakov. Now Yaakov cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Yaakov, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Yaakov said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" Then Yaakov said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Yaakov. And Yaakov gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
Amen. Very interesting here. Four things secured to the one who possessed the birthright. Four things. Number one, superior rank in the family. Genesis 49:3.
Reuven, you were my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power.
The second one was a double portion of the paternal inheritance. Deuteronomy 21:17.
But he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his.
The priestly office in the family was the third thing that's in the birthright. Numbers 8:17-19.
For all the firstborn among the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim, I sanctified them to myself. I have taken the Leviim instead of all the firstborn of the children of Israel.
And the promise of the seed is the fourth one, the promise of the seed in which all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Genesis 22:18.
In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.
Thus Esau despised his birthright for a bowl of food. We look into the book of Hebrews to see how Esau is spoken of. In Hebrews 12:14-17.
Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Mm-hmm. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears.
See, Esau knew the ways of God, and he was taught them. He was taught by Isaac, just as Abraham had taught Isaac. And he spurned it. It's not important. What's important is to look cool in a fast car. That's what's important. But he sought it diligently with tears, for he found no place for repentance. This goes with Hebrews 6:4-6.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame.
Amen. Now, I want to go back. Can we bring Hebrews 12 back up? 16. Hebrews 12:16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. Put that mouse on the 6. Don't click it, just put the mouse on the 6. Godless person. A godless person is one who doesn't take him serious. We have to face this fact. One who does not take God serious is a godless person. They don't care. They got more important things. Godless. We can be godless in many forms. When we quit showing interest in God, he quit showing interest in us. This is a fact. It's shown all throughout Scripture. We have to. If we want God to be interested in our lives, we have to show interest in him. He's going to use us for many things. He uses people. You can't even begin to say how much he uses people for. He takes people. What does it say? He turns the hearts of kings. He takes people and he does what he wants with them. He's master of destiny. But to be a godless person is a bad place to be. He was cause a godless person here in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, profane person like Esau, because he spurned God's order. The spirit of Islam is the same thing. Esau could care less. He didn't like it. He didn't care. Food, that bowl of soup was more important. To think lightly of God's order is a dangerous place to be once one has been shown God's order. And the birthright that is designated by Elohim is a big part of his order. But remember, they were both born on the same day. These two guys were both born on the same day. The older shall serve the younger, the flesh shall serve the spirit. Now let's look at Esau's second name, Edom, red, or dirt, which equals the flesh. It's a metaphor for the flesh. Genesis 2:7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
Genesis 3:19.
In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return.
Genesis 25:29-30.
Now Yaakov cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Yaakov, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom.
There are many prophecies concerning Edom. Isaiah 34:5-6.
For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Indeed, it shall come down on Edom and on the people of my curse for judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made overflowing with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of the rams, for the Lord has sacrificed in Bozrah, and is a great slaughter in the land of Edom.
Jeremiah 49:7-18.
Against Edom, thus says the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Has counsel perished from the prudent? Has their wisdom vanished? Flee, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan. For I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will punish him. If grape gatherers came to you, would you not leave some gleaning grapes? If thieves by night, would they not destroy until they have enough? But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His descendants are plundered, his brethren and his neighbors, and he is no more. Leave your fatherless children. I will preserve them alive, and let your widows trust in me. For thus says the Lord, behold, those whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunk. And are you the one who will altogether go unpunished? You shall not go unpunished, but you shall surely drink of it. For I have sworn by myself, says the Lord, that Bozrah shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse, and all its cities shall be perpetual wastes. I have heard a message from the Lord, and an ambassador has been sent to the nations. Gather together, come against her, and rise up to battle. For indeed I will make you small among nations, despised among men. Your fierceness has deceived you. The pride of your heart, O you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill, though you make your nest as high as the eagle, I will bring you down from there, says the Lord. Edom also shall be an astonishment. Everyone who goes by it will be astonished and will hiss at all its plagues.
This spirit of Esau, we have in this parsha, we have a demonstration of the spirit of Esau, the influence of Esau, and the physical Esau. Now, this influence is very contagious. And God is eventually going to stomp it out. And meanwhile, he allows things to run rampant like this in order to test his people. Ezekiel 25:13.
Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand against Edom, cut off man and beast from it, and make it desolate from Teman. Dedan shall fall by the sword.
Ezekiel 35:1-15.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it, and say to it, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against you. I will stretch out my hand against you and make you most desolate. I shall lay your cities waste, and you shall be desolate. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, because you have had an ancient hatred and have shed the blood of the children of Israel by the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, when their iniquity came to an end. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will prepare you for blood, and blood shall pursue you. Since you have not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue you. Thus I will make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it the one who leaves the one who and the one who returns. And I will fill its mountains with the slain, on your hills and in your valleys, and in all your ravines those who are slain by the sword shall fall. I will make you perpetually desolate, and your cities shall be uninhabited. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, because you have said, These two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess them, although the Lord was there. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will do according to your anger, and according to the envy which you showed in your hatred against them, and I will make myself known among them when I judge you. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have heard all your blasphemies which you have spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, They are desolate, they are given to us to consume. Thus with your mouth you have boasted against me and multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Thus says the Lord God, The whole earth will rejoice when I make you desolate. As you rejoice because the inheritance of the house of Israel was desolate, so I will do to you. You shall be desolate, O Mount Seir, as well as all of Edom, all of it. Then they shall know that I am the Lord.
This is all speaking about the descendants of Esau, the world of Esau, and the influence of Esau. Joel 3:19.
Mitzrayim shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, because of violence against the people of Yehudah, for they have shed innocent blood in their land.
This is still going on today. Every time a dump truck drives over a bunch of cadets in Israel, this is the spirit of Esau, slaying God's people in their own land. They will not see the truth of what they're doing, and the recompense that will come back upon them. Amos 1:11.
Thus says the Lord, For three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever.
Malachi 1:3-4. Thank you, Judy, for reading.
But Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage, for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, We have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, They may build, but I will throw down. They will be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever.
The Edomites, the people of Edom, the descendants of Esau, were Semites, closely related to, in blood and in language, to the Israelites. The Edomite tribe settled also south of Yehuda. The southern part of Edom was known as Teman. There are two fundamental ways of life. The way of good, life, and the way of evil, death. The way of life is connected to God, while the way of death is connected to the evil inclination, which dwells in all people. We have to fight it down all the time. One choice will spiral up to include joy, peace, loving kindness, health, and life, while the opposite will spiral downward into bitter root judgment, anger, sickness, and death. They have found through science that bitterness contributes to cancer. God gives us the choices, as he states in Deuteronomy. However, he clearly states, choose life. Therefore, everything will result in that we are the beginning point of good, and we can be the beginning point of evil. We are the beginning point of everything. We choose this or we choose that. This struggle is fundamentally within us all as the individual. We see this in Genesis when Eve made the choice to listen to Yetzirah and eat of the fruit. Throughout Scripture, there are several instances that a person or persons made the wrong or bad choice, which ultimately led to the consequences of that choice. Examples, Samson and Judges, when he went to Gaza and went to a harlot. 1 Samuel, when Saul refused to wait on Samuel and offered his own burnt offering. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, when their choice was to lie. And John, when Peter lied about knowing Yeshua. Unfortunately, our perception of ourselves often gets in the way of making wise choices. And this is the cause of problems with the ministry and workplaces and all areas of government. It's amazing. People will come in with a perception of themselves. And when leadership or someone doesn't see them the way they see themselves, they get very mad. They get highly offended, very upset. Because people's perception gets slanted real easy. I was told this many years ago by a guy. He said, people don't see you the way you see yourself. And that was like a glass of cold water in my face. It stuck with me the rest of my days, man. I was like, wow, there's so much truth in that. And so people in their minds make a perception like Esau that they're really somebody. He was a great hunter. He was a great hunter. So he perceived himself, oh, I don't need that birthright. I can go out and get my food and get whatever I need. I'm a warrior. So we have to really, really, really think sometimes, get grounded. Like Sophie said this morning, and breathe. Breathe. It's not how we perceive ourselves. It's how God sees us. It's most important. Unfortunately, our perception of ourselves often gets in the way of making wise choices, even for one who's professing to walk in the ways of Elohim. We are blinded to the goodness, the forgiveness, the love, the unselfish acts that we should do because we rate every instance in regard to that deceiving entry, me, myself, and I. We get stuck in the ego of our own evil influences, and we unconsciously choose unwisely. We lose clarity about reality in a situation and become lost in either a victim mentality or a persecutor mentality. To choose the ways of Elohim means to walk in the ways of Elohim. And the very first lesson is that of humility. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of the first choice of life. Without humility, the things in life that we need the most, the things that should give us, that should guide us, the word of God, the ways of Elohim, the love of Yeshua, will be void in our lives if we don't look at this humility seriously. Esau lacked humility as he was only concerned about his hunger, his own emotions and feelings, so much so that he was ready and willing to forsake his birthright when Jacob gave him an ultimatum, food or birthright. Due to his lack of humility, Esau later twists the events. And this is what's really, really, really dangerous about this spirit, this influence of Esau, which is everywhere. This is very important because he twists the events to blame solely everything on Jacob when he was given a choice. Genesis 27:38-41.
And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Yitzhak, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck." So Esau hated Yaakov because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Yaakov."
He was given a choice, and he failed. When things are twisted, people twist things and shape things. You know, there's been concern about a shooter coming in and shooting up the place. But I want to tell you one thing. That's just a temporal death. The eternal death that destroys synagogues and ministries is Lashon Hara. The gossip, the slander, the whispering behind the ears of others. People spreading rumors and lies. That is where the consequences are very, very grim. That's a place that is extremely dangerous to be in. I've watched it happen over the years. People literally die, physically and spiritually, from Lashon Hara and gossip because of their murdering character when they speak with it. What's the old saying? Loose lips sink ships. When people talk like there is no God watching them and talk and go on and on about people, this is a death sentence. This is a death sentence. Spiritually and physically. So this is something that has to really be kept in the back of a believer's mind and in the front of their mind. Hebrews 12, 14 through 15 again.
"Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord."
Can I stop right there? Pursue peace with all people and set apartness. Remember, that word holiness has been hijacked. That word holiness in the Hebrew is tzadik, chadosh, meaning walking in the ways of Elohim. Pursue peace with all people and God's ways. That's what holiness is, God's ways. Without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble. And by this many become defiled. That's where, when someone comes running to you with a juicy little tidbit, guess what? They're defiling you. If you open your ears, you are becoming defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, there we are, godless person like Esau. This is very serious in our ever-changing world where we see it. Slander is the way of life now in our country. It is like a byproduct of a very fat culture. And this is sad because it's just death. Everywhere it goes is death. And a person will say, "Well, I'm still alive." But remember Hebrews 4, what we were reading a while ago about it is impossible to return back. Esau turned on Jacob. He perceived that evil was done to him. Where in reality, those were the consequences of his own selfish actions. He had the choice. But he's ready to blame his brother for choosing, making the wrong choice, which people do all the time today. Just like I used this many years ago about, I don't know how many job sites I sat on, where there was a framing crew of 30 or 40 men. And at break time, you hear about everybody who's having to go to court because that mean cop got me. And it's his fault now that I have to go to the judge. This is Esau. It's the same thing. You know, you drive your tires till there's no more tread, you're going to get a flat. You know, backbite, that's going to happen to you. It's all over. It's everywhere. Esau's twisted perception. Genesis 25, that's where he had the choice. In Genesis 25, 33, 34, so he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau chose to let the demands of the flesh rule over the realms of life. So I have to say to myself, how many times in a day do I do that? How many times a day do we let that take over? He let the demands of the flesh rule over the realms of life. This is what Shaul talks about in Romans 7. We know the ways of Elohim. We know the ways of life. Yet we stumble and fall. Often we stumble and let the Yetzer Hara rule over us due to the company we keep. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 to 34.
Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
We are not immune to the slithering ways of the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara. We can easily be influenced just as Eve was. To stumble and fall is not the big sin. The big unreturnable realm is to stay in that realm, to stay in transgression. That's the realm one doesn't want to stay in. Our goal should be to recognize our faults, walk in humility, seek forgiveness and peace, rise again, and keep going towards life. This is what God wants of us. He wants us to step up and keep going. We see a lot of, sometimes it can be conflicting scenarios in Scripture. But what we need to do is not have it out here, but go in here with it. Where are these conflicting scenarios inside us? Just as Esau and Jacob, these are our ancestors we're talking about here, these guys. And you go on and read further and you read on who else was related to Esau and Ishmael. They came back into the ways of God. The Scripture talks all about it. It's open for everyone to come in. Genesis 36:1.
Now this is the genealogy of Esau, who is Edom.
Right here we have a verse that says Esau is Edom. Okay? Genesis 36:8-9.
So Esau dwelt in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom.
Now we just take, with all this turmoil in the world today with Islam, if you get worried and you start letting fear run your life, just go to the book. Go to Obadiah. So we just go to the book of Obadiah, which is really hard to find sometimes, especially if your Bible is backwards like mine.
The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, and let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. You who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how will you be cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasure shall be sought after. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountains of Esau? Then your mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For violence against your brother Yaakov, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Yehudah in the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, Amen. And there shall be holiness. The house of Yaakov shall possess their possessions. The house of Yaakov shall be a fire, and the house of Yosef a flame. But the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. The south shall possess the mountains of Esau, and the lowland shall possess Philistia. They shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Shomron. Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captives of this host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaani as far as the Zarephath. The captives of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south. Then saviors shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's.
Amen. It's a good book. I had our friend Dror, he contacts me almost every day. I get videos and things from him, and he was real upset one day when that Palestinian went into the old man's house and stabbed him at the Shabbat table and killed him. He was pretty upset, and I said, Dror, just go read Obadiah. So when you hear of things that disturbing of Islam, go read the book of Obadiah. Anytime you start to feel yourself in a whirlpool, so to speak, downward spiral, things are just, they seem like sometimes they just mount up and mount up, and it starts within our families or our workplaces or things like that. And you start feeling overwhelmed. Go to the book, man. Go to the Word. Get in the Word, man. I go in my office and I sit down on Thursday, and I go in and there's all these things from the outside world going. It's like static, you know. There's just all these things chasing you, you know, and these scenarios in your mind, you know. You're always doing scenarios, and I go up there and get in the Word, and it all goes away. He has such a beautiful place in His Word. Man, that proves to me that it's alive. That proves to me that it's the truth. It proves to me that it's the only way out, the Word. The Word is a place for our minds to dwell. If we are to overcome that battle within us, we have to spend more time in the Word than we do in the world. Always remember this. If we spend more time in the Word, we get delivered from all the worldly turmoils. It's a good place to go. And praise God for all the people out there on the planet, Christians, Jewish, all of them that are for the Word of God, that are speaking it into other people's lives. Praise God for those people. For all the Sunday churches, for all the missionaries, for all the people that go out there and go out here and speak the truth. They're speaking life into people's lives, and they're receiving life they can't even see sometimes. So this is where He wants us. He wants us in His ordinances, in His Word. He wants us to live there and dwell there like He does. Then we become the bride. Then we have seen the ketubah. In Yahshua's name. Brother Darrell.
The Haftarah for this week is Malachi 1:1 to chapter 2, verse 7. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord, yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we all return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us while this is being done by your hands. Will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle a fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you, if you will not hear and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on their faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one who will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him, that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. And just a very, very short commentary. He talks about the offerings being offered as being lame and blind, and these also have metaphoric value for us in the spiritual realm. When we offer to the Lord, it is not just sufficient to offer the blind and the lame in this word picture that we have here. We're to offer an offering without blemish, the best of the flock, without blemish. I guess a blind lamb could, the equivalent to that in a spiritual realm is just to be reckless in just sacrificing for the sake of sacrificing. I'm just going to do this in the name of the Lord without actually really searching out and not having your heart in that sacrifice and not understanding the value of it. So we should always be conscious about what we're offering the Lord. Our motive, he's saying here, our motives are important. Our heart has to be in our sacrifice, and we can't offer what we can offer just for the sake that, okay, I've done that and I'm good and I can move on. We're to offer our best. So thank you very much.
I wanted to add to that too, Brother Darrell. The sincerity of the offering is equivalent to sincerity of true repentance. And this is where these things related to the offering in the spiritual realm transfer into our lives in their quality or in inequality. True repentance is a true, pure offering to God. And so this is something that we can apply to our lives today, because people will say, well, what do you do about the sacrifices? They say, well, we don't do physical ones now. Now we have to have a real sacrifice, true repentance. Truthful repentance is a pure sacrifice to Elohim.